find that putting things like trash bags down instead of taking them out means you're just going to have to deal with them later. Save yourself the time and aggravation by doing it all at once. While you're at it, collect the trash from any other cans or bags you have elsewhere and take that out too. Replace the trash bags in the cans, if applicable. With just the trash taken care of, it's probably already looking and smelling a little bit better. Take a minute to breathe and relax a little bit. It's all going to get done, and it's going to be okay. Next, go from room to room and gather up all the dishes. Go ahead and deposit them in that sink full of soapy water you set up before you got started. If the sink is already full, wash one load of dishes or load up the dishwasher. Get another load of things soaking and then move on. Once you move on to the rest of the house, after each stage, revisit the dishes and do some more. Don't get totally wrapped up in dishes, though. You want to be doing other stuff in between. If your dish situation is bad enough, you could theoretically spend all day on it. And that's not what we're aiming for here. Once the first phase of dish warfare is over, take a 10-minute break and grab a bite to eat or something to drink and recharge a little. But most importantly, when your break is over, you need to get up and get moving again. Post-break, do another round to every room and get all your stray clothes together. Clean laundry needs to get put away in its proper home, and dirty laundry needs to go in the hamper, or whatever it is you're using in lieu of a hamper. You don't need to start a load, but just make sure it's all together in the right place, so no one is going to stumble over your dirty socks, or worse, when they're least expecting it. That just gets embarrassing for both of you. If you have a little extra time, there's nothing wrong with throwing some clothes in the washer, but keep in mind that laundry has 3 steps. And if you aren't going to be able to, or want to, put it away, then just go ahead and save the laundry for later. The important thing is to get it off of the floor and the furniture. You don't need to share your floor drobe with the world, or even your landlord. Once your garbage, dishes, and laundry are under control, think about where people are actually going to be when they're in your house. If it's a social visit, they're probably not going to end up in the bedroom. Unless it's, you know, a social visit. So you can probably just shut that door and not worry about it too much beyond trash, dishes, and laundry. This tactic doesn't work if, for example, your landlord is coming over for maintenance and will need to get in there, or if you're not totally sure where they're going to need access. Regardless, even if you're closing off doors, it's still good to have the trash and dishes dealt with. As far as closets and cabinets, unless you have a reason to believe that someone's going to be opening these, leave them alone. Don't give in to the temptation to put more crap in them, because you're just going to have to deal with it later. But don't make them a cleaning or organizing priority right now. You can do it once the visit is over. In the visible areas like the kitchen and living room, clearing off your flat surfaces is going to go a very long way toward making the place look a lot less chaotic, even if it's not particularly clean. Things tend to accumulate on anything horizontal, so a huge amount of your clutter is likely concentrated on those surfaces. Start with the most visible flat surfaces, tables, countertops, etc., and clear them off. Do your best not to simply relocate the contents to somewhere else that you're just going to have to deal with later. Baskets and boxes full of random junk rarely get put away, and you know it. But try instead to put things away for good. It's tempting to just stash all the crap behind one of those doors you closed before, but all you're doing when you do that is shifting the mess. You're not actually cleaning up. In the absolute worst of time crunches, this is an okay, if not ideal, way to deal with things, but if there's any possible way to avoid it, do. Don't just stash the junk somewhere else. Put it away. Otherwise, months from now, you're going to find yourself tripping over those baskets of random crap you stashed in a hurry, and you'll be right back where you started for the next unexpected visit. Keep working on your counters, tables, and shelves until they're all passably clear. Once you've cleared one off, wipe it down. After finishing one surface, go do some more dishes before moving on to the next area. Take a short break every so often. It might seem counterintuitive to take a break when you're dealing with such strict time constraints, but it'll help to keep you from getting burned out and grumpy. Chances are, grumpy is going to show up anyway, but that's okay. All that intense work on a deadline is basically a recipe for crankiness, to which very few of us are immune. Take some time to regroup and do something nice for yourself. Flat surfaces are probably going to take up the bulk of your time, so pace yourself as best you can while still working quickly and efficiently and avoiding distractions. After your flat surfaces are clear, do a quick dusting of anything you haven't gotten to, if needed. Don't spend a lot of time on this, just do a quick wipe down of anything that's obviously dusty and gross. Half-assing the job is totally acceptable here since we're going for speed. No need to go all out trying to do it perfectly. A quick go-through with glass cleaner for any visible glass is good. Get the bathroom mirror, too, while you're at it. Don't even think about trying to wash your windows, though. Windows take forever, and some things will just have to wait. Now, especially if you're expecting a social visit, spend some time cleaning up in the bathroom. If it's a maintenance or a landlord visit and the problem isn't in the bathroom, just do the bare minimum. Put things away, wipe down the counters and toilet, and sweep. If you're having people over who are likely to need to use the bathroom at some point, be a little bit more thorough. Bathroom time is alone time, and in someone else's house, people notice things because there's really nothing else to look at. So take a few minutes and wipe everything down. Give the toilet a good cleaning. Change out the hand towels, and make sure you're all stocked up on soap and toilet paper. Take a break when you're done. Next, move into the kitchen. Your dishes should be pretty well dealt with at this point, so just put away any remaining clean ones. Your counters should be fairly clear after having been cleaned off with the other flat surfaces, so now take a few minutes to wipe down the stove and any grungy surfaces like cabinets or the outside of the microwave, and put away anything else that's not where it belongs. Wipe down the counters and do one last sweep of dishes to make sure the sink is, finally, clear. If there's more trash to take out, now would be a good time to handle that. Don't forget to take another little break. Double check. If you're expecting your landlord or a maintenance call, go to wherever they're going to be working or inspecting and take a couple of minutes to clean up that spot. If their attention is going to be focused on a fairly small area, it might be a good idea to tidy it up a little more thoroughly. Also, if you know from a previous inspection that there's something your landlord is particularly fixated on, spend some time on that. In general, landlords like to make sure the appliances are in good shape and that everything is basically clean and in good condition. Structural issues are the landlord's responsibility. Whether or not they actually accept that responsibility varies greatly. But cosmetic appearance and overall cleanliness are your job, and that's what the landlord is going to be looking at. So take a few minutes to do a little more work on that. Once that's done, take another lap around to every room and deal with anything that's jumping out at you as out of place or messy. If you notice it, another person might too. Again, don't get too wrapped up in any one thing. You're not looking to do a deep clean, just taking the overall mess down a notch. Once you're happy, or at least content, with the general state of things, clean up the floors. Run a vacuum or do a quick sweep. But unless it's totally necessary, you can skip a thorough mopping. If anything is sticky or gross, do a basic mop with some hot water. But don't get all wrapped up in getting your floors clean enough to eat off of. No one's actually going to eat off your floor. I'm hoping. So that's just going to take up a chunk of time you really don't have to spare. Again, you're looking for improvement, not perfection, so do the best you can quickly, and then make sure you put all of your cleaning supplies away once you've finished. Once you're done, step outside of your home. Be very careful not to lock yourself out, and walk back in. If anything catches your eye or is out of place, deal with it quickly. Once that's done, high-five yourself on a job well done. I guess this looks sort of like a clap. Take a shower, put on some clean clothes, and have something to eat. Emergency cleaning is stressful and crappy, and you got through it! Now try to enjoy having other people in your home, knowing that all your hard work means they might just be fooled into thinking you have your shit together. Moving. You're moving! That's so great! Oh, wait, no. It's the other thing. Terrible. Moving is absolutely terrible. And everyone who does it swears they'll never do it again. Until they do. It's exhausting, tedious, frustrating, and basically the worst. It's awful, and everyone knows it. It doesn't have to be, though. You can move without it being the worst, most stressful thing you can experience. It can be relatively painless if you're well prepared and well organized. And you can be. Starting out smart and staying on track will bring the pain level of moving down from wild jaguar attack to mildly inconvenient mosquito bite. It's still going to suck, but with some preparation and organization, you can make it suck a little less. The most useful thing you can do to keep from going completely bananas is to start early. Even if your move seems like it's ages away, you should start preparing as soon as you know the move is happening. This gives you the time you need to pack more intelligently, stay organized, and, most importantly, keep yourself sane in the process. Moving doesn't have to be as stressful as it's been in the past. Procrastinating until the last minute, though, is a surefire way to end up crying in your kitchen, surrounded by things shoved in garbage bags and a moving truck idling outside. Don't let yourself get to this stage. Start early. And if you can't start early, start now. Even one extra day of preparation can help. Although, obviously, more is better if you have the time. Stage 1. Months, weeks in advance. Starting off on the right foot will save you a lot of time and aggravation later on. While this stage is almost entirely preparation, it's still really important in the grand scheme of things and will pave the way for more intense packing when you're ready for that. Starting early gives you the opportunity to do a little less work at a time and to avoid getting burned out. Start culling. This is the single most important thing you can do to make your move easier. Don't move things you don't want to keep. Don't move things that will eventually become garbage. Do not move anything you know you will not want or use once you move. If you think you're going to be discarding a lot of stuff or large items you can't donate, now's the time to arrange for a dumpster or recycling pickup. Now is the time to really go through and figure out which of your possessions aren't necessary or wanted. It's silly to move things only to end up getting rid of them once you're moved. Set up regular pickups or drop-offs. Many nonprofits have collection trucks for donated items, which makes it a lot easier for you to get things you don't want out of your house. A quick online search can help you find organizations that will pick up donations locally. Once you've decided to get rid of something, move it to a specific area, and make sure you move it out as soon as you can. If no pickup service is available where you are, designate a day to go drop off donations. If you have a lot of stuff, schedule a drop-off every week, or whatever interval is appropriate for you. Designate a staging area. When you get into the full swing of packing, you're going to want a system for dealing with your boxes that makes sense. Once boxes get filled up, you should have a designated place to put them so that they're ready to move without being in the way. Now is the time to set that space up. Prep the area by clearing other things out of it. Make sure you can work around it as you're packing. And just generally getting it ready to hold your boxes. Do something every single day. This UFYH mantra works for moving, too. Even if your move is pretty far away, make it a point to work on one area or pack one box a day. When you start skipping days, it makes it that much harder to get back into the swing of things, and you'll find yourself with a lot of lost time to make up for. Keep a slow and steady pace, and don't be lulled into complacency by how far away your move is. That time is going to fly by, so make sure it's productive. Deal with your baggage. If you happen to have boxes that you never unpacked from a previous move, don't worry, everyone does, now's the time to finally deal with them. I mean, come on, if you haven't opened or unpacked something in however long you've been living where you are, is it something you really need to be hanging on to? Open that box and decide once and for all if you're keeping the stuff or tossing it. Bonus, if tossing, you now have an empty box to use for packing and a bunch less stuff to move. Stage 2. a few weeks away to write before. As the move looms closer, you can start to prepare more intensely. By this point, you'll hopefully have gotten rid of anything you don't want to move with you, so you're ready to start packing for real. As always, starting out organized is going to pay off later, so take a little bit of this time to set up your systems in advance. It'll keep you on track as things start getting chaotic. At this stage, you don't have a lot of extra time to mess around with, so buckle down and commit to accomplishing a set amount every day to keep the last few days from being more than you can handle. Stock up on your supplies. You're going to need boxes, obviously, but also make sure you have plenty of packing tape, garbage bags, paper for wrapping up breakables, and markers. You don't want to interrupt your packing flow by having to run to the store. Put all of your packing supplies in one easy-to-access place, and when you've finished working for the day, put everything back in that spot. Don't waste valuable time by having to chase down your packing tape or wondering where you left the marker. Work methodically. Start with things you use infrequently, or that you know you won't need until after your move. Work around your home in a logical order so you aren't going back to the same area time and again. It may not be possible to finish a room entirely, especially if there are still things in that room that you need before the move, but do as much as you can before moving on to somewhere else, or consolidate the things you need into one area. Only handle each area once. Pick one drawer, shelf, square foot of floor space, or cabinet at a time. Deal with every single item in that space, whether you get rid of it or pack it. Once the space is done, clean it out. If it's a fixture that stays in the old place, you're saving yourself some time cleaning it off later. And if it's something that's moving with you, it's much nicer to unpack clean things. Going back to the same area over and over will waste your time and keep you from getting through the process quickly and efficiently. Doing one at a time also helps you stay organized, because you won't be constantly wondering if you left something behind in an area you've already worked on. Take breaks! The great thing about starting early is that it gives you a little more time to work with, and you can hopefully avoid burning yourself out. If you didn't start early, breaks are just as important to avoid becoming a giant stress monster. Moving is a stressful process, no matter what, so put some effort into trying to mitigate some of that tension. Either set a timer or enforce breaks after one or two areas. If you start to feel like packing is all that you're doing, you're going to be even more unhappy than this process already makes you. Schedule in some time away from packing, and give yourself rewards for getting things done. The process sucks. There's no getting around that. But it's so much worse if it's dominating all of your time. Label everything. Everyone in the universe has advice on how to label packing boxes, but you need to know what's going to work for you. The most common advice seems to be color code everything with a master list of contents that corresponds with each box. That is some next level organizing skill that most of us don't possess, and it can be fairly time-consuming and confusing if you're not naturally inclined to it. Try just writing the contents on the box, and be specific. Rather than kitchen, use your marker to scrawl out kitchen, wine glasses, gadget drawer, serving platters. Future you will thank past you for being so thorough, and it doesn't require a master's degree in organization. Don't move boxes more often than you have to. Remember the staging area you set up in stage one? Here's where it comes in handy. Once your box is packed up and labeled, seal it and take it to the staging area. The next time you touch it should be when you're loading it up to move. If possible, try to group boxes in the staging area based on where they're going to in the new place. That'll help when you're unpacking the truck on moving day. Pack up all but the bare necessities. You don't have to wait until the day before you move to pack your dishes and utensils and such. Separate one set of daily items for each person who lives in the house and pack everything else. When it's time to move, all that stuff can go in one box, and you can start using it right away in the new place. Everything else can get dealt with and packed up. Keep in mind, too, that you'll probably be able to make do in the short term without a whole lot of things you may currently consider necessities. If you can do without it for a little while, pack it up. Make a list of immediate needs. Figure out what you're going to need in the first 24 to 48 hours in the new place and make a list. As close as possible to moving day, pack a box with all of those things and label it clearly so that it's easily accessible once you've moved. Consider not just the obvious things like bedding, dishes, and clothes, but also things like a shower curtain, your medication, pet food, cleaning supplies for the new place, and anything else you'll need to establish your daily routine once you're in your new abode. Make a mental inventory of those essential items as you go through your daily routine in the time leading up to the move, so you aren't scrambling at the last minute to figure out what you're going to need. Stay on track. Resist the urge to throw everything into unlabeled garbage bags. It may be easier now, but it's not going to help once you've moved and it's time to unpack. If you are using garbage bags for soft goods, pillows, clothes, sheets, make sure the bags are labeled so they don't get mistaken for trash and end up in the dumpster. Even better, try to find clear bags so you can see at a glance what's inside. Avoid accidentally throwing out your possessions by taking trash out as soon as the bag is full. Make a plan for the little ones. If you have pets or kids, consider making alternate arrangements for them for moving day. It's hard enough to stay on task as it is, and worrying about leaving the door open or whether it's nap time will only add to your stress. Stage 3. Moving day. It's time! Moving day can be chaotic and complicated, but if you've planned well and stayed on track up to this point, things should go fairly smoothly. Plan for at least a few things to go horribly wrong, though, so you aren't too surprised when they inevitably do. Try to be well-rested so you're better equipped to handle whatever comes up. Eat a good breakfast, stay hydrated, play some music if you can, and try to stay relaxed. Enlist help. This may go without saying, but the more hands to help, the better. Every additional helper cuts your loading and unloading time dramatically and relieves the pressure on you to do everything yourself. The time-honored tradition of bribing your friends and family with pizza and beer is helpful, as is any food, really, but also helpful is reciprocity. Always remember the people who helped you move. You owe them. Put each box where it belongs. Since you were awesome and organized while packing, you know where each box's contents belong. Make sure that's where they end up. There's no sense in bringing a box into the house, putting it down somewhere, and then, at some later time, having to pick it back up and move it somewhere else before you can put its contents away. Just take it right where it belongs. Take a time out. You're going to want to get as much done as quickly as possible, and while that's definitely important, it's also important to give everyone short periods to rest and recharge. In addition, remember to eat, stay hydrated, and stay on schedule with any medications you take. You're in the midst of a big move. Your routines can get all screwed up, so make sure you remember the important stuff. Clean the old place. I get it. You can't wait to be done with the place, but leaving it clean and in good condition will minimize aggravation and increase the likelihood of getting your whole security deposit back. If you remembered to clean as you were packing, this step shouldn't be too terrible. If it's really horrible, consider hiring someone to clean, or see if one of your moving helpers would be willing to clean instead of hauling boxes. Regroup. When things go wrong, and they probably will, to some extent, don't panic. Figure out the quickest and easiest way to address the problem, or delegate as necessary, and then get back to work. Some things will happen that are beyond your control. A broken-down moving truck is a sadly common thing that can wreck your whole move if you don't have a contingency plan. So make sure all of your details are clarified and you have a backup plan just in case things go south. Stage 4. Unpacking. Once you're all moved in and surrounded by a fort of boxes, it's time to start the unpacking process. The sooner you get it finished, the sooner you can relax and actually enjoy your new place without all that work hanging over your head. Unpack thoroughly and methodically. The last thing you need is to have things lingering in boxes months after you move. Empty a box, break the box down and stash it away, and move on to the next one. Leaving half-filled boxes isn't ideal, not only because you have to handle the same box more than once, but also because your overall number of boxes isn't going to decrease as you work. Your goal should be to clear out the boxes and get the contents put away properly as quickly as you can. Start out organized. Designate a space for packing materials once you start unpacking, and make sure you're regularly taking them out to be recycled so the moving detritus doesn't take over your new place. Make sure everything stays in whatever place you've designated, and reset each area to clean once you're done unpacking for the moment. Work every day. Again, as with packing, aim for at least a few boxes or 20 minutes every day. If you get out of the habit of steadily unpacking, you'll find it that much more difficult to get started again. Slow, steady, and only mildly annoyed wins the race here. You still need to live your actual life amid all the unpacking, so do a little bit each day and then move on to something else until tomorrow. Step away for a minute. Unpacking can be as exhausting as packing. If you try to do too much and burn yourself out, you're not doing yourself any favors, and you're much more likely to give up partway through and leave boxes untouched and sitting around until the next time you have to do this all over again. Especially in the beginning, when you're likely to be dealing with a number of boxes at the same time, take a breather every once in a while. A new home is the perfect opportunity to start fresh with a clean, organized space. As you're unpacking, try to consider what setup is going to help keep you on an orderly path. Starting from scratch is sometimes much easier than trying to get an established mess under control. You have the chance to set things up any way you want. So put some thought into how to organize your new space in a way that works for you. Unfucking your digital habitat. These days, we exist in digital space almost as much as we do IRL. That's in real life for you non-liners. Your digital habitat is just as important and just as vulnerable to unholy disasters as your physical one. Whether it's your mess of an email inbox, your improbably large number of Facebook friends, or your impossible-to-search documents and pictures folders, your digital life can probably use a little unfucking. The same principles that we've been using to deal with our physical messes can be applied to our digital messes. Working in small bursts, taking breaks, and doing a little bit of prevention on a daily basis. Going through and organizing an entire inbox or all of your computer's documents can be a huge task, so tackle it one manageable chunk at a time. Whether that means setting a timer or putting a limit on how many messages or files you deal with at a time, breaking this job down into smaller sections will keep it from taking over your life. Sure, it may take days to get everything back down to something manageable, but having a plan and a deadline will help, even if it doesn't all get done at once. Which it probably won't. Email. Chances are, your inbox is a mess of unread messages, junk mail, and a seemingly infinite backlog of stuff you really don't need to hang on to. With a little effort, you can wrangle your messages into something far more manageable and less dismaying. Sort by sender. You can delete wide swaths of emails this way if you know they're coming from a sender you don't care about. Store sales and promotions, that newsletter you got automatically subscribed to. Your aunt, who only ever sends you forwarded hoaxes and feel-good stories. You can make them all go away at once. The emails, not your technologically challenged family members. Plus, emails from the same sender will often be sorted into the same category, which will make filing them much easier too. Unsubscribe. Sorting by sender can help you identify those mailing lists you're on that are just taking up space in your inbox and have no positive value for you. Prevention is key with all kinds of messes, including digital, so reducing the number of emails coming in will help you stay organized. Just click Unsubscribe, which is usually located at the bottom of these emails. Make labels. For those things you need to hang on to, create an inbox filing system that's intuitive for you. If you need to save certain kinds of emails, create specific, easy-to-remember labels that'll make them easy for you to find later on. Maintain. Don't let your unread emails creep up into the thousands. Every day, go through and sort, delete, and unsubscribe as needed. just like with your home. A very small amount of work on a regular basis will prevent the need for a major project later on. Even if you get 100 or more emails a day, it's considerably easier to deal with 100 now than 3,000 at the end of the month. Computer desktop. Is your computer desktop a chaotic disaster of icons and shortcuts to who knows where? Impose some order on your desktop to make turning the computer on a little bit less stressful. A lot of people avoid the chaos of a cluttered desktop by simply never using it at all, which is absolutely a valid method. But if you're someone who still relies on your desktop as part of your computing routine, there are certainly things you can do to keep it under control. Don't use the desktop as file storage. Sure, the whole point of the desktop is for ease of access, but when it's covered by every file and folder you have, it really doesn't make anything easier to find. If there's a file you need to access every time you use your computer, give it a place of honor. But otherwise, use folder storage instead. Keep current. There is absolutely no need to keep things on your desktop that are out of date or unused. Go through and get rid of or move anything that isn't currently useful. Use a wallpaper you love. If you have a picture that's meaningful to you or a pattern you're really drawn to, you'll be less likely to cover it in crap. Get help. There are lots of apps, programs, and extensions that offer various ways to keep your desktop organized. Computer folders. Admit it, you probably save all of your documents to one catch-all documents folder, and most of your pictures end up in one giant pictures folder. As I'm sure you've experienced, that can make it a real pain in the ass to try to find something specific. By setting up an easy-to-understand system, you'll save yourself a lot of time trying to find things later. Organization is key here. The more streamlined and less complicated your system, the better it'll work for you. Give your documents and pictures non-generic file names. As you save things, give them clear, descriptive file names that'll make them easy to locate when you're looking for them later. This goes for downloads of files you didn't create, too. You're not tied to whatever name or string of numbers and letters the creator gave them. Rename these files to fit in with your system and keep them easy to find. Create categories. Instead of documents or pictures, try tax info, pets, work stuff, and so on instead. Use a system that makes sense to you, and don't be afraid to make folders within folders. 2016 receipts, Fluffy's birthday party, project research, etc. The more levels of organization you have, the easier it'll be to find something. Sure, it takes a little longer to set up, but the work will pay off down the road. Change your defaults. If you like most things you save to go to one particular place, take 5 minutes and mess around with your settings to make that place your default. If you're more likely to look at documents you've edited recently, sort by date modified rather than by name. Alphabetical order isn't always the best way to find something, despite what your third grade teacher told you. Social media. There's no denying that social media consumes much of our lives. Whether you're active on one social media network or five, it's easy to let it take over huge amounts of time better devoted to, you know, actually doing something. While it's certainly a great way to stay connected and informed, or misinformed, depending on what you're listening to, your time on social media can probably be reduced. Pare down. If spending too much time on social media is a problem for you, think about what you're relying on it for. If you're just wasting time by following a whole bunch of people you don't really care about, consider culling your friends list or following list. With fewer people to follow, you'll get caught up faster and be able to get back to doing non-social media things. Hide and block. When your feed or dashboard is cluttered up with irrelevant or obnoxious material, hide the source. Depending on the platform, you can often hide everything that originates from one person or one site. And in the case of a person, they'll never know that you did it. If you find yourself getting pulled into arguments or developing antagonistic relationships, don't be afraid of that block button. Consider what you're really getting out of those interactions. And if you don't find that the payoff is worth the aggravation, remove the source of it. Schedule online time. Most people are fairly stunned to find out how much time they lose online. Give yourself a limit on how much consecutive time you can spend online, or use 20/10s to alternate computer time with something else you need to get done. There's nothing wrong with catching up online, but it should be balanced with everything else that exists within your life. Smartphones. It's pretty obvious that smartphones make our lives easier in a lot of ways, but they can get disorganized and out of control just as certainly as anything else. But if you institute some order, you can find the things you use the most without getting lost in digital clutter. Streamline your apps. Make sure the apps you use most often are the most accessible on your home screen, and group everything else into folders. Name the folders something that makes sense to you. There's no need to swipe past page after page of little-used apps in order to get to what you actually need. Cull your contacts. Keep your contacts current and complete, and don't be afraid to delete out information for people you know you're never going to need to get in touch with again. Organize your pictures. These days, we use our phones as cameras just as much as, or more than, we use them as phones. It's not uncommon to have thousands of pictures in your camera roll, and even though many phones separate them into albums by date, it might be useful to do a little organizing of your own. Make separate albums for trips, seasons, places, or specifically for pictures of your pets. This way you don't have to scroll through your entire archive just to find that one adorable shot of Fido frolicking at the beach. Backup your memories. Too many people have most of their photo memories stored on their phones or hosted on their Facebook accounts with no backup. There are plenty of options available for backup and storage. Just make sure you have access to yours if something were to happen to your phone. Perish the thought. Getting your digital life in order isn't always an obvious priority, especially when there's a ton of other stuff going on that seems more important. But given how much time we spend on our computers, phones, and tablets, maybe it should be. Disorganization in one area that's such a big part of our lives can lead to feeling disorganized in other ways. So no matter what environment you find yourself spending time in, whether physical or digital, it's a good idea to keep it cleaned up. Schoolwork and work. Think 2010s are only useful for your house? Nope! There are all sorts of ways you can use them to accomplish a little at a time, especially school or work tasks and projects. 2010s can be really helpful in taking a big or complex project and tackling it bit by bit. There's no end to the parts of our lives that need unfucking, but fortunately, you can use the same principles you've been applying to get your home under control to get everything else under control too. One of the hardest things about schoolwork, and work projects, is finding the motivation to get started. Maybe the project seems overwhelming and you don't know where to start, so you procrastinate as much as you can. Sound familiar? Yep, it's just like cleaning your house. A big, overwhelming project that's difficult to start because there's no end in sight. But you can absolutely tackle it the same way you've learned to deal with your messy house. A little bit at a time. When you're trying to figure out how to get started on a school or work project and you're too overwhelmed to just get going, try breaking it down into smaller chunks and start working on the easiest one. Figure out what you can do that's not too difficult and doesn't require a huge time investment, and do that first. Even if it's not the first thing that needs to get done chronologically, it'll help you get past the block keeping you from getting started. And it'll get you into the groove of your project without jumping into the difficult stuff right off the bat. From there, you can 2010 your way to a finished project. Just continue working on the smaller parts until you've wrangled them into submission and your project starts to take shape. As with housework, doing a little bit at regular intervals will get you so much further than trying to do everything all at once. A marathon mentality is counterproductive in just about every circumstance. Except, of course, actual marathons, but even then you need to rest periodically during training. Switch to a mindset of a little at a time and find yourself starting to make some measurable progress. Students can hugely benefit from 2010s in all sorts of ways. Depending on how long you've been in school and how much academic autonomy you're used to having, Or not having. Coursework can be difficult to wrap your mind around. It's hard to get started. It's hard to get motivated. And it's really hard to keep going when there are a million other things you'd rather be doing. So many people find the hardest part of advanced coursework to be finding the drive to actually do it. And, as we find when dealing with our homes, we can attack schoolwork using some familiar concepts. Set time aside. You need to schedule in your schoolwork so you make sure you're giving yourself adequate time to do it. It's very easy to say, "I'll get to it later." But before you know it, later has come and gone and you haven't done one single thing. Set an alarm to designate the beginning of your work session and make sure you're not occupied doing other things that will prevent you from starting on time. Start early. Big paper, exam, or project coming up a ways from now? Start now. Even if you can only do some preliminary work or an outline, that's great. It'll need to get done at some point, so why not get the basic stuff out of the way so you aren't stuck doing it all at the last minute? Cramming is essentially the school version of marathon cleaning. Exhausting, overwhelming, unsustainable, and incredibly common. By pacing yourself and starting early, you'll avoid the trap of the stressful all-nighter cram session. Break it down. When you're facing a giant, overwhelming project, first figure out what steps need to be taken in what order. That list or outline will provide you with a handy to-do list for getting things done. With some simple planning, you can give yourself a series of small, easily achievable tasks in the order you need to complete them. Work consistently. One big schoolwork session, much like marathon cleaning, isn't going to be that helpful for you in the long term. Make yourself work a little bit every day, if for no other reason than to stay in the habit of working. As a bonus side effect to building the habit, you'll get a whole bunch of work done too. Take a breather. Just like when we're cleaning, we need to give both our minds and bodies a little bit of rest before moving on to the next thing. When you're cramming or scrambling to finish a project, you aren't allowing yourself any downtime when you aren't immersed in the project, and probably incredibly stressed out. By scheduling in breaks, you allow yourself to shift your focus away, even for a short period of time, and you can go back to the project after your break with fresh eyes, and without the frustration and aggravation that always develop when you work straight through. All of these methods can be applied to whatever you're doing out in the workforce as well. Projects and presentations become much less obnoxiously overwhelming when you lay out the organizational framework and then accomplish small tasks with regular frequency to help you get everything done without sacrificing your sanity. The key is to start early, work often, and give yourself time in between to do other things, work-related or not. Schoolwork, housework, and work projects are all work. They all require effort and concentration and at least a basic level of organization. But everything tends to become far more manageable when you stop looking at the big, terrifying forest and take a nice, long look at the trees. Once you start to get your home in order in a way that makes sense and is pretty easy for you, you'll be able to use all of those skills, habits, and routines in other parts of your life, too. 5. Conclusion. Now what? UFYH Fundamentals. Now what? With any luck, in the time it's taken you to listen to this book, you've not only started to make some small but positive changes in your habits, but you've also started to change the way you think about cleaning in general and how it relates to you specifically. After what is often a lifetime of hating or even fearing cleaning, it can be difficult to realize that it doesn't have to be something to fear or resist, and that you can, in fact, learn how to interact with your home in a way that makes it comfortable for you to live in. You can reshape the way you approach cleaning, organizing, and housekeeping so that it feels less like something you have to do against your will and more like something you do for yourself, your health, and your well-being. It's important to acknowledge that listening to a book and making some changes, even if they're big ones, isn't an automatic recipe for lifelong success in keeping your mess under control. There's no magic solution to the problem of disorganization, and every possible way of dealing with it involves effort and motivation, even if it's just a little at a time. Don't expect to get your entire home clean and then never have a problem with it ever again. Here's a fundamental part of human nature. It's difficult for us to change. And we spend a lot of time looking for the miracle that's going to change us, only to be disappointed when human nature wins out and change proves harder than we hoped. The only way to really succeed is to not give up at the first setback, or the second, or fifth, or tenth, and to keep trying until it sticks. It might take longer than you'd like, but lasting, sustainable change is never immediate. It takes time, and it takes effort, and fixes are rarely permanent. So you might backslide into your old messy ways. That's okay. It really is. It doesn't mean you're a failure, or you're a bad person, or all your hard work was for nothing. What's more important than finding yourself back in a disaster area of a home is what you do after that happens. With time and effort, you'll have developed the skills and motivation to be able to start back up again. No matter how small scale, by doing a little bit every day to get that mess back under control. You can start and restart as often as you need to. Part of the cleaning and housekeeping continuous cycle is that you will always have the opportunity to try again, regardless of how long it's been or how much you need to catch up. Don't beat yourself up if you find yourself falling into old habits, or lack thereof. The really great thing about incremental change is that you can always start again from the beginning without having to upend your entire life. Feeling like a failure is never any fun, but just remember that each day gives you another chance to start. If you fall behind for a while, it doesn't mean you failed forever. It just means it's time to rediscover 2010s and to start refocusing on those small but important habits like keeping up on the dishes, putting things away instead of down, and clearing off your flat surfaces. The biggest step you can take is to just get started. Even 20 minutes of work is a step in the right direction. And then later today or tomorrow or next week, you can do another 2010. And another. And before you know it, you'll be back on track toward getting your household chaos back under control. It's not impossible. And it's not more than you can handle. You just need to get started and do that first 2010. Being successful with cleaning and housework is not a pass-fail situation. It's a constant cycle, an evolution of skills and motivation that will ebb and flow as time goes on. Sometimes you'll be really motivated and put in consistent effort and be incredibly happy with your results. Sometimes you'll be tired or sick or overworked and just not feel like it. And at those times, your effort is going to be minimal, and your results are going to be a little disappointing. One bad cycle doesn't mean you failed or you're terrible at this, any more than one good cycle means you've reached the housekeeping pinnacle and you're done forever. Acknowledge all this domestic stuff as a journey with an ever-changing starting point and finish line. If everything seems overwhelming, and you don't know where to start, and you're not even sure you want to try, remember that you are not beyond help, and that you are better than your mess. You deserve to live in a home that's comfortable for you, that you're proud of and enjoy, and that you can invite people into if you want. You can work on your relationship with cleaning, how you interact with the people you live with, and how you judge yourself and your home, until you're in a place where you're satisfied with all of those things. You can always improve, whether that means cleaning more often, cleaning more efficiently, streamlining your possessions, or communicating your way to an equitable division of household labor in your home. Once you stop thinking of your level of messiness as part of your personality, you give yourself the flexibility to change it. If you no longer say, "I'm a slob," like it's something undeniably true and unchangeable, you allow yourself a whole lot of room to change what you thought of as part of your identity. Messy isn't who you are. It's a result of what you do or don't do, and it can change. You can change it. Change is difficult, but the more open you are, the more successful you're likely to be. And you can measure success however you want. You don't have to compare how you stack up to someone else's expectations or some arbitrary standards that have nothing to do with you or your life. You might not think clearing off one countertop or putting one load of laundry away is a huge accomplishment for most people, but if you're proud of having done it, count it as a success. When things start feeling overwhelming again, and they probably will, because we're all human beings and we have a lot of shit going on, remember to treat yourself kindly, to forgive yourself for your perceived failures, and to celebrate every accomplishment, no matter how insignificant it might appear. No matter how bad things seem, no matter how much work needs to be done, you can do it. 1 2010 at a time. UFYH Fundamentals. No matter where you are in the process of getting your mess under control, just getting started, trying to maintain, or even just beginning to think about making a change, keep these basics in mind, which make up the core of the Unfuck Your Habitat system and can give you an easy framework to fall back on if things start getting overwhelming. 20 minutes is not a long time. Marathon cleaning sessions, while satisfying, are exhausting and make you never want to clean ever again. 20 minutes at a time, once or a few times a day, is a sustainable way of keeping your habitat unfucked. Put it away. Probably 75% of our mess is made up of things we didn't put away. Whether it belongs in a drawer, in the closet, in the trash, or in the cabinet, make sure it finds its way home. This is critically important in two areas especially: laundry and the dishes. Doing laundry and doing the dishes are not difficult tasks, but most of us give up before the putting it away step. Don't. As soon as you're done, everything goes back to its home. Most of the rest of our mess is because we have too much stuff and not enough places to put it. This can be solved with either less stuff or more storage, and less stuff is generally the way to go. Get off your ass. Look, housework is a pain in the ass, and it's rarely fun. No one is disputing that, but it isn't hard. What is hard is overcoming your own lack of motivation and just getting up and doing something. Anything. Tidy up your tops. When your flat surfaces are clear, you feel like you're making serious progress. Counters, tables, dressers, nightstands, etc. Try it. You do not have to unfuck everything all at once. In fact, you shouldn't. That's how burnout happens. One thing at a time. Take breaks. It's important for your state of mind. You can integrate cleaning into everything else you do. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You can only change your own habits. If you're dealing with roommates or spouses or kids or parents who aren't on board, the best you can do is tell them what you're doing, trying to keep ahead of the mess, and ask them to help not make it worse. Getting passive-aggressive or resentful because other people aren't playing along only hurts you, and it's not good for your brain. A little effort now saves you a lot of work in the long run. That's why I advocate getting your stuff together at night for the next morning. That's why I like dumping some cleaner in the toilet or tub or sink and letting it start to work while I do something else. That's why taking the extra 5 seconds to wash your fork or put it in the dishwasher will always be a good idea, because it'll stop Dish Mountain before it starts. Stop making excuses. Yes, yes, you have a million valid reasons why your mess has taken over. But I refuse to believe that you can't spare 20 minutes, once a day, toward improving where you live. If you're still making excuses, you don't really want to do it. If you can realize that 20 minutes is really no big deal, I can pretty much promise that things will get drastically better pretty quickly. Addendum. If you are someone dealing with physical limitations, chronic illness, chronic pain, mental illness, or any other situation that makes getting your living environment under control difficult, please know that you are not lazy, and that getting off your ass may not be easy or even possible sometimes. I encourage anyone who has limitations to modify challenges, suggest alternatives, and, above all, put your health first. If you can only do 5 or 3 minutes of unfucking, that's worth celebrating. Most important, do what you can. Some days, this might not be as much as you'd hoped. That's okay. Even tiny progress is still progress. And small but consistent change is more important than overnight miracles. You can do this. This concludes Unfuck Your Habitat by Rachel Hoffman. Narrated by Emily Wu Zeller, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Copyright 2017 by Rachel Hoffman. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with St. Martin's Press and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.